Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of John. And we're going to be kind of all over the Gospels this evening. But we'd like for you to look at some of the verses that we looked at on Sunday in chapter 12 in verses 1 through 8. And we're going to take a little break from our character studies this evening to focus on something that's happening right now. That is the things leading up to what's called Easter Sunday. You can call it Resurrection Sunday. You can call it really, you know, whatever you'd like. But this time of year, as we celebrate the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to take a look at some of these events, and I'll explain here in just a moment. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, I'm going to read these first 8 verses, and you follow along in your Bibles as I read out loud. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Of course, this kind of begins this last kind of timeline here of Christ's earthly ministry. And this very week that we're kind of in right now, as far as a historical sense goes, I was able to share this, I believe, with our Sunday school class last year around this time. But I want to make sure that everybody kind of had an idea of how the events of this week really went. You say, what do you mean? Can I tell you something? Just a little clue. Religion doesn't always have it right. I had to chuckle a little bit because on Saturday, as I was making my normal phone calls, talking to people, 2 different people were watching the same program on TV. At least 2. At least they mentioned it. 2 mentioned it. And they were watching Moses. It must have been on Saturday. And they were watching it. And, you know, that's a, if you will, a good old movie, right? You know, Charlton Heston holding up the tablets and all of that stuff and whatnot. And anyways, but the comment was made of the inaccuracy of some of the things, or the, you can call it entertainment additive content, you know, whatever, to make it, you know, more interesting. Because, you know, this isn't interesting enough. Right? Okay, good. I didn't think so either. But, you know, so I thought that was kind of funny, because that goes to my point. Religion doesn't always get it right. Okay, you're all okay with that, right? Okay, good. Well, it's an unusual thing as we go through our world, and we kind of get caught up with things. And then listen, I am not one of those guys that's going to say, well, bless God, we can't celebrate Christmas because, you know, December 25th is... that's not when Jesus was actually born. Well, if I knew exactly when he was born, that's when I would celebrate Christmas. Okay, but it's the, in other words, it's the idea, it's the point of it. This is something we can figure out. Did you know that? It absolutely is. Here's some things we need to know. One key to understanding this account is to understand the difference of how the Jews reckon a day and the Gentiles reckon a day. Okay? We reckon a day how? 24 hours. Right? That's how we reckon a day. We have midnight, kind of, you know, 12:01, that begins the day. Okay? Those of you, those of us that were in the military, all right? Military time,
It's just how we tell time. All right? And so it's a 24-hour day. All right? So we have those early morning hours from, 001 through whatever time the sun decides to get up, right? You have that's really morning. Everybody okay with that? All right? And then you have your kind of real morning. You know, like 6 or so, we can use that number, I suppose. No, that's not okay. Maybe 8, 9, 10. Is that better? Okay. All right. How in retirement, how is it, brother? Yes. I love it. Anyways, it's how we. And then, of course, noon is important, right? That's when all the gunfights happen in the streets. High noon, and that's America, right? And that works. And no, it's lunchtime. That's important, right? And then you have your afternoon, and then you have evening. That's right. Then you have night, and we're Gentiles. That's how we reckon a day. Can I tell you something? That in the Jewish culture, it's not that way. It's different. Okay, a Jew reckons a day differently. Their day is from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's how they reckon a day. Now, the reason why that is that way is if you go back in the book of Genesis and look at creation, God says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So you have 6 p.m. all the way around to 6 p.m. That's a day. So that's how the timelines are different. In the reckoning of a day. So the Jewish culture, they have their time begins around supper time. Okay, so let's say if it's Friday at 6 p.m., that's their Saturday, the beginning of their Saturday. Okay, so actually that's the beginning of the Sabbath, 6 p.m. Friday evening. Okay, so you understand that that's actually how it goes, and it goes from 6 p.m., then 6 a.m. Now we're at 6 a.m., right? And on our Saturday, it's halfway through their Saturday. Okay? And then their Saturday is ending at 6 p.m. on Saturday. So that's the difference. All right? So this is very important to understand. So they did not these things. As far as the Sabbath and all those the different times when the day actually started and when it ended, so we have these things. So the Gentile Tuesday evening and the Jewish Wednesday, that's the same time frame, okay? And that's how it goes. Here we have another indication that the Sabbath day was not always on a Saturday. Okay, mostly it was. But there were things, something called a high Sabbath. And a high Sabbath could be on any day. It was a special time, kind of like Passover. Passover was considered a high Sabbath. Okay? So these things are important to understand. Now, in Numbers, you can read through in the Old Testament there, that we have these different things set forth by God to Moses to the people of Israel. Okay? So you say, where are you getting this information from? Right here. Okay? From the Bible. Right? Not from some scholar or not from some other idea. These are just things that we kind of overlook when we read the Bible. Or we think we know, but we know them under different terminology, perhaps. Like when you and I think of a day, it's just a day, right? I mean, how many of you really considered that God counted them, as far as the Jewish culture, evening and morning and first day? Okay, only a very few of us probably knew that. Okay, so we have to understand how that all works. Now, the Passover was set on the 14th day of the month, and the feast of the Passover on the 15th day of the month, which begins the days of unleavened bread. Okay, this is all set forth in Numbers 28. In the gospel accounts, the Passover lamb was killed on a Wednesday evening of the Jewish calendar or the Tuesday evening of the Gentile calendar. Okay? So that's kind of how it went. Remember that their evening and our evening is happening at the same time, and they just call it a different day because they've already jumped ahead. You're okay with that? Okay, good. Now, that's how it would happen. And then the feast of the Passover would be that Thursday evening for the Jews or Wednesday evening for the Gentiles. You understand how that works, okay? So that's how it's going to go. So here we are in John chapter 12, and we read this text, of course, Sunday and, of course, tonight. And it says that Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Okay, and that was there, and they made him supper. So at least they have supper, right? I mean, they're having supper at evening time. Okay, how many of you have had that debate with somebody? Is it dinner or supper? Okay, it's supper. Bible word, supper. Okay, there you go. So we have this there. This is the 6 days prior to the Passover. Okay, so this is what we're talking about in the time frame. And so this is before, of course, we read here how, and we did on Monday, I read it on Monday, but on Sunday, how he came in, you know, Hosanna in the highest, and he's riding on the donkey, and they're throwing down the coats and everything. It's considered what? Palm Sunday. Okay? All right, so that was the next day after this 6 days before the Passover, that he went to Bethany. So you can very quickly line this up. So we're talking about a Saturday. All right? Saturday. Okay, so he's there on a Saturday there in Bethany at this supper. Of course, we know how all of this happens. And in the other Gospels, in Matthew 26, in Luke 22, Mark 14, it talks about how after this event, Satan entered into the heart of Judas. And they set forth this plan to betray Christ. All right? So this is all happening on this Saturday afternoon as it approaches the evening time. A meal is being prepared in the home of Simon. And we have this here. And we have Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And this meal is called supper. Okay? This is when this is happening. All right? And so we have this taking place. All right? So then we have this thing. On Sunday, which is the next day, the first day of the week, okay, which actually began our Saturday night, right, coming into this Sunday, we have this triumphal entry, okay, this Palm Sunday. And how this happens, and of course that's found in Mark 11 and here in John 12. And Jesus goes into the temple and looks the city over, and then after this, he returns to Bethany, and the home which he was staying in. Okay, so he goes into town. They have this big triumphal entry and everything and all this. And Christ goes there. And all of that stuff happens. And we have the ending of that. And then we come to Monday. Okay, actual Monday. And this would begin our Sunday evening. I'm just trying to help you. I'm not trying to belabor the point. But it is kind of confusing to get your head around. Okay. And so to follow the timeline, we have this Sunday evening into Monday at 6 a.m. And then from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We have this time on the morrow, it says in Mark 11, 12. This is on Monday. Jesus and his disciples, they travel from Jerusalem to Bethany. Remember the story about the fig tree, right? And he, as he was going by there to Jerusalem, he sees this fig tree and there's nothing on it. So he curses it, right? And it withers up and everything, all of that. And we have that story there. And then the scribes, they further are plotting his death there according to Mark 11, 18. And then he and his disciples go back to Bethany that afternoon. Okay? So you see how all that takes place. Now, in the morning it says, Mark 11, 20. All right? So this is sometime around Tuesday. Okay? And so you understand that the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, so this is going to be sometime on Tuesday before 6 p.m., from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., somewhere in that vicinity. So this would have been yesterday, right? In between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., we have Jesus going back to Jerusalem, the fig tree being withered, like overnight, this happened. He's debating with the Pharisees. They're questioning his authority and all these things. And Jesus is doing some more teaching and preaching here at the end of Mark 11 and the beginning of Mark chapter 12. We have these accounts. And those of you that have ever done a chronological reading of the Bible, you kind of see how these things all kind of go together with how this timeline works. And so you have these different things, like the tributes to Caesar and the seven brothers and the resurrection and the commandments and these things. And there's more teaching about this and all of that. And then we have this, what's called the Olivet Discourse and the Mount of Olives and all those things about his return to Israel. And the time marker confirmation, if you will, or how we know this on course for this, is found in Mark 14:1. And this is 2 days from the Passover feast, which is Thursday. Okay? So we're still in line with where we're supposed to be with these things. On this before 6 p.m., so before this time, according to Luke chapter 22, verses 7 and 8, John and Peter are sent to secure the room and make ready the supper. All right? What supper? Okay, there's that word again, right? Supper. The Passover supper, right? You say, but the feast didn't happen until Thursday. Right? Everybody okay with this so far? Okay, here we go. We're going to cover that right here. Okay? So now, after 6 p.m., Tuesday, okay, this time they didn't go back to Bethany, they stayed there in Jerusalem. And we have the account of the Lord's Supper, so the Jewish Wednesday is beginning. Okay, so this will be the evening of their Wednesday, which is our Tuesday evening. We're still on the same page all together here, right? Okay, so this is according to Matthew 26, verse 60, and Mark chapter 14, verse 17. In this time, Jewish Wednesday or our Gentile Tuesday evening, Jesus meets with the 12 in the upper room. Okay? And this is called the Paschal Supper. Alright, this is a preparation supper. This is not the feast of the Passover. Remember, that's on Thursday. Everybody okay with that? Okay? Now, you say, I have no idea what this is. Well, this was not a feast. This was a preparation meal. Okay? It's called the Paschal Supper. You can read more about this in different historical accounts of Jewish customs and find out that this was something that happened these 2 days before the actual Passover feast, which was on Thursday. Okay? So they would eat lamb and dip the unleavened bread in a bowl of sauce. And that was the tradition that they would have for that particular supper. During this, he speaks of his betrayal, and they go through all the things, like the comments with Judas. Of course, you can read these different accounts in Mark chapter 14, Luke 22, Matthew 26, and John 13. So we have these times, and the times that we've celebrated the Lord's Supper here at our church, I often have read those different accounts to you to show to you the vastness of what actually took place at that evening. Okay, and again, this is in preparation for Christ's death. Everybody understand? They're coming down to the end of his earthly ministry. So this is very important, not only to him, but to his disciples. So all these things happen. Of course, then in John 13, which is just a chapter over from where we read our text this evening, we have this washing of the disciples' feet and all of these things. And he tells of Peter's denial and all of this stuff that takes place, right? Okay? So this all happens this time. Now, if you think about it, 6 p.m., right? So they're going to have this supper. And it's going to take a while. All these things. So when they're done, what's it going to be like? Dark? Like midnight? Right? Like really dark. Okay? And we would say, no, hey, we're getting to Wednesday morning. Yes, our Wednesday morning. All right, this is their Wednesday evening. Okay, because it's evening in the morning. It's kind of backwards from what we think. All right, so we have all this happening. And, of course, they went out and they sang a hymn, right? And they went out and it was dark outside. All right, so we know of this darkness and all these things. I want to encourage you this week to read John chapters 14 through 17, thinking about the darkness that they're in. Because, you know, there's a lot of little details that become significant when you think that this is about midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, that kind of thing. All right? Not everybody thinks of it that way. But that's how it was. Okay? According to the proper understanding of the timeline. All right? So we have these things that happen here. And we have all these different events that obviously we do not have time to read through each one of them. I already gave you the passage of scripture. You can find them. Then, according to Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18, we come to this picture of the Garden of Gethsemane and the events that happened there. Okay? Now, this is all during that time. And so, just kind of by reason, let's say they started the supper around 6, 7 o'clock, right? Something like that. They're there 2, 3, 4 hours, right? So we're talking, you know, realistically 10, 11, 12, all right? You understand? When they're singing the hymn and going out into the night. And then they have to walk from wherever they were to the garden, okay? They didn't take the bus or an Uber or anything like that, okay? They didn't have little mopeds or anything like that, or even bicycles for that matter. But so they had to go a little bit. So we're talking, like I said, 1, 2, maybe 3 in the morning. This is very, very, very late, all right, when these things happen. And of course, he's praying, and he's praying there for quite some time as well. You understand this, right? Okay, so we're going through all of these things, and then we have all of this stuff that takes place somewhere in there. Now, as obviously around this time, the actual betrayal happens and all this. And someone told me they were reading this week and they read an interesting portion of scripture about some as the disciples fled, a young man being just wrapped in a linen garment. How many of you have read that and thought about that before? Yeah. I looked it up, and there's a lot of supposition about this particular topic. The truth is, nobody really knows. Okay, there's a lot of summations. Maybe it was John Mark, or maybe it was, you know, someone else, and maybe it was just a neighbor kid that woke up out of his sleep and came out in a blanket trying to figure out what's going on. Okay, who knows? But what it was, but that all those things happen. At this thing here. Oh, and the certain young man clothed in a linen cloth, they grabbed his cloth and he fled away. I'll leave the rest to you. Okay? If they had the cloth and he didn't, that's how that was. All right? And so then you have all of that took place. And obviously, they take Jesus over to the high priest. And all that happens, of course, according to John 18. And we see that. Now, this is somewhere between this midnight and 6 a.m. period. Again, we're still on their Wednesday evening, which would be our, what we consider Wednesday, or Tuesday evening / Wednesday morning. All right? Everybody okay with this so far? All right? And so all these things are happening. And of course, Jesus is being bounced around like a pinball while Peter is out there warming himself by the fire and denying Christ. All right? And so we have all this taking place here before this 6 a.m. window on the Jewish Wednesday evening, which then follows the Jewish Wednesday morning. You understand? But that's what follows, okay? So the evening is first and then the morning. So sometime between 6 to 9 a.m., because we all know that the Romans are Gentiles and they don't open for business until a good hour of the Wednesday morning, and such and so forth. So he didn't get to Pilate's place until sometime between 6 and 9 a.m. on a Wednesday. Okay? So this follows the timeline according to Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 18. Okay? So this early Wednesday morning, the elders, chief priests, and scribes, they get all this done, and they take him away to Pilate's judgment hall. Okay? And you understand that they waited outside, lest they would be defiled and not able to eat the Passover later on. Okay? So this is important. Alright? So we have all this happening, and Pilate came out to them as to inquire what their business was. Right? Because they had their Jewish laws and customs to follow. And then we back and forth here. Jesus, between these 2-3 hours here, goes back and forth between Pilate's place and Herod's place, and then back to Pilate's place, and then this final judgment is made. Okay? So here we are, about the third hour of the day is when Jesus was crucified. Okay? You understand that, okay? So what would that be? 9 o'clock. Okay? 9 o'clock. This process begins. We're told in the Bible, according to Matthew 26, Mark 15, and Luke 23, that there are 3 hours of darkness from noon to 3 o'clock. Okay? And we know that was happened there. And this happens, and this is when the darkness and Jesus dies and the temple veil is rent in two and all this stuff. Now, Jesus had to be down from the cross before 6 o'clock. Okay, this was the Jewish law. Their Thursday was beginning. What was happening on the evening of their Thursday? The Passover. This guy couldn't be hanging on the cross while this ceremony was taking place. Okay? So, I just blew away Good Friday. Sorry. You understand? This all had to happen well before that. Okay? And so, the reason why I said well that way is because I was going to say way before that, but I decided to say well, and it came out well before that. That's a good southern accent there, like that. Anyways, this is what he had to be. Down from the cross and in the grave by 6 p.m. Okay? Because see, listen, all these preparations had to be made. The embalming of the body, laying him in a tube. Hey, folks, that takes time. Okay, so we can't have instantaneous things taking place here. I mean, it wasn't Star Trek. They couldn't teleport him from one place to the next. Okay? So that had to take place. So we know all this happens. And, of course, this Thursday is one of those high Sabbath days. Because it was the Passover feast. So it had to be that way. So Passover, while Saturday was the normal Sabbath, this was a Sabbath because of the high day of this particular Sabbath. So everyone was going to be observing these things, this the Passover on this time. Okay? So then we have 3 full days and 3 full nights, as Jesus said, right? As Jonas was in the belly of the whale, 3 days, 3 nights, I'll be in the heart of the earth, right? That was what comment Jesus made there in John chapter 19. So we have this all commented of these things. So here we are before 6 p.m. So just a couple hours ago, if you will, it would have been the time when Christ was actually sealed up in that tomb. Okay, all of that had to be complete by 6 o'clock. Because the Jewish Sabbath, this high Sabbath, this Passover, was beginning. Alright? So, here we are. We'll just go by our Wednesday evening, if you will. Okay? To Thursday morning. That's one evening. Right? Okay, then you have Thursday at 6. To Thursday at 6, we have one day. One morning. That's one day. Okay? And then you have Thursday at 6 to Friday at 6, that's two nights. Y'all understand? Okay? And then Friday at 6 to Friday night at 6, you have the second day. All right? Then you have Friday night to Saturday morning at 6, you have your third night. And then Saturday morning at 6 to Saturday evening at 6, you have your last, third and final day. So sometime around 6 p.m., between 6 p.m. Saturday and 6 a.m. Sunday is when Christ rose from the dead. Okay? And that's how that works. So we have sometime after this time, 6 p.m., which would be considered the first day of the week. This is when all these events of the women finding the empty tomb and the angel talking to them and Mary meeting Jesus as what she thought was the gardener, right? Having not yet ascended up into heaven. All those things are taking place from the 6 p.m. our Saturday to the 6 a.m. on the Sunday. Okay? And so it really sets into light. It's just to be kind of a help to us to understand the series of events. Because if you will, as we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday or whatever you'd like to have it, if we're going to kind of place ourselves back in time, we would, if you will, as those that are followers of Christ, would be eating the Passover right now. On this high Sabbath. And our Savior would have been crucified and buried in the tomb. About 2.5 hours now or so. So just want you to think about that. And really, from this point all the way through to Saturday at about 6 o'clock, they're like, Right? It's kind of like, now what? Right? Because they're waiting. Okay, now you can read all the accounts of how nervous the chief priests and Pharisees and Sadducees were. Right? They told Pilate to beef up the guards and the guard duty and put the seal on it and all that stuff. And, you know, all of that's taking place. All of these things. So we have all of that happening in that particular fashion. Well, the idea was simply to set your mind on the Lord. And if you think about the text that we read, as Jesus was talking about this, he told them not to bother Mary for what she had done. He said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. And the reason why we would want to understand these events more carefully is not just to say, oh, well, I really know the truth. And Good Friday is a crock, you know, and such and so forth. Ash Wednesday and all those things. Come on. No, that's not what it's for. It's really that we would be mindful of these things. And really, as they do, and as we do, if you will, for the Lord's Supper, it ought to be a memorial for us. It ought to be for us to share with others, not to share how smart we are, but to share, really, how great a God we have. Because he's the one that lined it all out for us. You just got to do a little digging. Okay? And so there's a way, and we ought to, as God's people, we ought to not only want to know and understand, but then live accordingly. And I hope you take the rest of this time, this week, the rest of this evening, tomorrow, the next evening, next day, the next evening, next day, and take time to share with others about Jesus Christ and his life and his suffering and his death and his burial. And after 6 p.m. on Saturday, his resurrection. You understand, it's a wonderful time for us that we can share with others what Jesus means to us. And I just think it ought to be shared intelligently. Because now you can kind of know what you're talking about. And it's an interesting study.